I'm Nigel Day from Oxford CND, and I'm also a Newquatcher. On Saturday the 25th, we had a big gathering organised by CND National, which was at the American Air Base at Fairford, nominally called RAF Fairford. It's really USAF Fairford. It's all American, and it's been like that for a long time. They bombed Iraq from there, and now they're bombing Iran from there. So we gathered there whilst there's a ceasefire at the moment. We know they are practicing takeoffs and all of that. So we gathered 200 people there on Saturday. Lovely day. Everything had been arranged to close the road for our march all the way up. And we did that because we need to show the fact that we are complicit in the UK in the American bombing of Iran. This airbase, despite Starmer deciding it would be for defensive purposes, of course, it's not in the least doing any defensive work at all. It's offensive bombing, 2,000-pound bombs there, or air-launched cruise missiles. At the moment, there are 8 B-52 bombers there and 15 B-1 bombers. And the importance of Fairford is that it's the only forward American base for strategic bombers in Europe. It's the bomber base for the whole of Europe in strategic ways. So that's why these bombers are there.
Okay, well, look, the Americans have got bases in Germany. They've got bases in Turkey. Why don't they use those? Much closer, aren't they?
They're not bomber bases. You know, they have bases there, probably for fighter bombers. You've seen fighter bombers transiting through Lakenheath and ending up in the Middle East. So they are smaller planes. The joy and then the reason why they use Fairford is that it's a very long runway. It's where they tested Concorde. And it was also a reserve runway for the shuttle. Should the shuttle have had launching difficulties, it was to land at Fairford. So the reason why this is a great long runway, and also should they need to use the B-2 stealth bombers, they have built special hangars there which are thermostatically controlled for the B-2 bomber. Now the B-2 bomber is not there at the moment. It's of course at Diego Garcia in the Indian Ocean. But the B-1 bombers are there and the B-52 bombers. And they have been over the last month bombing Iran. They take off from Fairford. They're not allowed now to fly across France or Italy or Spain. So they are refueled from planes from USAF Mildenhall. The tanker planes take off from there, refuel them. They have to go round through the Straits of Gibraltar and along the Med. When they get there, they are given an AI bombing target. So that's how these things are run. No wonder that the thing's inaccurate, but it's done all by AI at that end. And they are based at Fairford.
Now, look, 200 people is not going to stop a war, is it? What's the point of demonstrations like that?
We're not going to stop a war. No, of course not. It's not. That's not the intention at all. We're there to show that there are a lot of people in this country who can't necessarily get to march alongside Fairford, but that are objecting to the fact that the Americans are bombing from Fairford, and that brings us into a war that was started by Netanyahu and Trump.
The other base that you mentioned, Lakenheath, we saw aircraft returning from the Middle East to there. That's over in East Anglia, quite badly damaged. So there's not been a lot of reporting of that.
Not really. No, those planes, they're fighter bombers, such as F-15s and so on, F-22s, etc. So some of them are based at Lakenheath, and the one that was actually shot down, the F-15, actually was based at Lakenheath. But it's also a transit airfield, so many planes we've been monitoring all of this. Over the last month or two, lots of fighter planes and transport planes came through via Lakenheath and transited to the Middle East. So that's how they're using Lakenheath at the moment.
So
And you know, some of
we
those
also,
planes coming back may well be damaged, and I guess will end up in America.
well, you may not have seen the photographs, very badly damaged. They've been patched up. So this has been kind of suppressed. The other thing that's been suppressed from the British news are the reports of emergencies taking place on these bombers returning to Fairford, or maybe even on the way out. Maybe they have to abort their mission.
Yes, I know of that. Yes, some of them had to. Some took off, loaded, and because of whatever problem, I think one had a hydraulic problem, so that turned around and landed back again. And I'm sure that would happen because the number of sorties they're doing, there's bound to be something like that happening. And it has happened, yes.
Now the worry is, of course, and Fairford was used also during the Kosovo conflict back in the 1990s to bomb Kosovo, very controversially. I remember myself hearing them flying over our head late at night in London to go and bomb in Kosovo. But the point here really is that some of these bombers could be nuclear armed, couldn't they?
They're not nuclear armed now. No, I think you have to be careful about going down that road. They're not nuclear armed. They are nuclear capable, both the B-52 and the B-1. But they're not armed with nuclear weapons. They have the largest American bomb store in Europe is near Newbury. It's called RAF. Again, it's not RAF, it's USAF. Welford. So that down the you drive down the M4 and you'll see the signs and going into it. Now, they have been using bombs from there up till now, driving them in HGV vehicles into Fairford, but they've virtually depleted all the weapons that are in there. So we suspect from our monitoring that they are flying in more ordnance, ammunition, and so on, bombs, whatever, from bases in Italy and Germany. They're flying them in with Hercules C-130 aircraft into Fairford. They also have other aircraft they fly in to support the bombers, and these are with Calita Air and Atlas Air. Now, Calita Air and Atlas Air are flying seven Boeing 747s, giant planes, not with passengers, and those both aircraft companies are secret airlines. They don't have any public use. They're used by the American government for secret deals like this,
Well,
and they are coming in
it
all the
sounds like more
time.
like a cover story. You know, let's put something else on the outside of the plane, not US Air Force.
No, I guess not. I guess they probably are belong to some private companies which are exclusively used by America, CIA, etc., etc.
Privatization.
Pardon?
Privatization.
It could be like that. They're probably farming that bit out. But they come in most days. You can see one was parked there on Saturday.
So this sounds quite fascinating. Something I haven't heard of is that the Americans seem to be concentrating all of the NATO base weapons, or many much of them anyway, from right across Europe here to Britain. Why are they doing that?
They're not concentrating. They're just, I guess, they're refurbishing or bringing in more weapon stock because they've depleted, they've bombed an awful lot of Iran, in the past 2 weeks. So I guess they have to get some more bombs and air launch cruise missiles from somewhere. They have stocks in Europe and they're probably flying them in to Fairford now.
Now, Donald Trump has said he's not going to nuke Iran. I'm not sure if he's the sort of person that we can totally believe, because he seems to change his mind like it's going out of fashion. But I know you've been involved in monitoring the fact that the and you interesting, you said last time we spoke to you that all the British nuclear weapons are actually up in Scotland at Coalport. But it seems that although in England and Wales, the only people now building up a stock of nuclear weapons are the Americans.
Well, yes. What happened is some years back, the Americans have always had nuclear weapons in Europe. We had them here as well. We had them at Lakenheath, and they're also there. They have nuclear weapons stored in the Netherlands, Belgium, Germany, Italy, and Turkey. So those bombs are there for the Americans to use, but also for those air forces from those countries. They are trained to use those weapons should there be an emergency, but it will be controlled by the Americans. Now, the British, the weapons they had in Britain were removed in 2008. So up till now, we've not had American weapons in Britain. But a few years back, they announced that they would be refurbishing the nuclear bomb stores throughout Europe, and they included Lakenheath. So immediately we pricked our ears up and thought, why are they refurbishing the old nuclear storage areas at Lakenheath? Is it, do they mean that they're bringing weapons back? So there's no confirmation either from the British government or the American government. But anyway, we monitored all the practice runs and all the circumstances around this issue as nuke watchers. A few of us nuke watchers monitored these over a long period of time. We watched the practice runs and we all, anyway, we won't go into how we did it, but we monitored it. And four of us, I was in a hotel at the time because a car had come through my flat wall. So I was actually placed in my wheelchair in a hotel, but I was the phone base for the operation. And so when we estimated it and from what was happening, we estimated when the delivery would be, and we tracked that in. We had one person sat there with a camera, and we tracked and watched that plane arrive on July the 17th, 2025. It arrived, and they have a very set procedure, and as in all these cases, how the plane was to be guarded, where the fire engine was to be, etc., etc. Very precisely laid out who was the escort, and they complied with all of that. And we watched them unload the plane and took photos. So we could say, probably definitively, that the weapons arrived on that day. Not everyone believes that, but we are absolutely sure we were there and we photographed it. And so we can say that the nuclear weapons are American nuclear weapons, B-6112s, they're called, are also in Lakenheath as well as already being stored in Europe.
Okay, so how many of these are there and how big is their bang?
I've no idea how many came. That they're storing them at Lakenheath. Now, at the moment, they are embarking on a big security refurbishment around Lakenheath, around the area that will be the critical area, and they're also doing that at the bases in Europe. So they're increasing the security because they have these nuclear weapons there. Now, what the British government has done, it was announced by this government at one of the NATO conferences that we would buy 12 F-35A planes. We have F-35B planes, which are short takeoff ones, which are used on our aircraft carriers and by the RAF. And they're based at RAF Marham, which is in Norfolk. So we have ordered these F-35As, which are the nuclear capable ones. F-35Bs are not nuclear capable. So the F-35As that we're buying will arrive at Marham about 2030. So it's not immediate. We have already gathered outside Lakenheath, sorry, Marham, to protest about that, to know, to make sure that they don't do it or to ask that they don't. But anyway, when they arrive, our RAF F-35As will be nuclear capable, but they won't have bombs. We don't have any bombs like that in Britain. So it could be that they would use, like the European Air Forces, they would use the American bombs, which are at Lakenheath. But that would all be under the American control, and we've no idea how they could arrange that. But anyway, that's up for them to sort.
Well, there may be another reason why the security is being upped, and that is because there's more tension and splits in NATO, and that politically the Americans are becoming less popular all the time in their amongst their European partners in those countries. But I did ask you about how big these nuclear weapons are. Do you know?
Oh, how big! Yeah, they're like a normal sized bomb. I mean, I've got pictures of the B 6112. There, when you see the pictures at Fairford of 2,000 pound bombs, it's a similar size to that. They're not a massive great thing.
Okay, but
They miniaturized everything.
how big do they go bang?
How big? They have a variable load, so you can adjust the amount that you would like them to explode. So it could be fairly small, which is a worry because people think, well, that could be used in a tactical way in the middle of Europe. Say, for example, just this is just an example. Say Europe was invaded by the Russians. They could theoretically, I suppose, use a low-grade bomb to try and stop a big tank advance or something like that. And they could use a higher one later, whatever.
So
So
just
it's a variable charge in these weapons, which would allow them to adjust how much they want them to go off.
yeah, variable yield. So
I guess
yeah,
so, yeah.
I wonder whether, I mean, aren't you actually being a bit risky and compromising national security by going in and filming these things arriving, that sort of thing? I mean, the Americans and the British Ministry of Defence might argue, well, Nigel and his friends are a threat.
Well, we've been doing Nuke Watch. What we do mainly is to monitor the convoys that take warheads from Burfield, Atomic Weapons Establishment Burfield in Berkshire near Reading, take our UK war nuclear warheads to the submarine base at Coalport and Faslane. Lane. So we do that all the time, and these transit through the whole of Britain about every 4 to 6 weeks. But we also have monitoring planes, of course, in this case. So we have been doing this. We are peaceful people. They know who we are. In fact, we're in the Commons Library, and they've even quoted some of our estimated things in the Commons Library.
Yeah, but I mean, if you're doing this in real time, I wonder if you make any concessions. Say the Russians or China or whatever might say, "Oh, look, CND are telling us this plane is arriving with nuclear weapons in. Maybe we better do something about it."
Well, there are hundreds of spotters that could do exactly what we do. We can sit outside a base. You're allowed to do that. We're not doing anything illegal. In fact, while we were photographing the bombers coming in, there were two American security people wandering about and talked with the photographer. And when the day a couple of days after when it happened again, or a couple of weeks after, sorry, in another flight, armed MOD police were wandering about outside. But it's perfectly legal to sit there, like the spotters do. If you go to Fairford now, you'll find hundreds of spotters with cameras the size of a cannon camped all over the place. So there's nothing illegal about what we do. And in fact, anybody could do what we do, and I'm sure the spotters do exactly what we do.
Now, I know you're following these nuclear weapons as they're arriving by air, but you also follow the convoys around, don't you?
We do all the time. That's been our work for 40, 50 years,
So,
yeah.
what are the main convoys that take place in Britain? So, if people see a sort of bunch of, you say you're driving on the motorway and you overtake a bunch of big green lorries, what can we watch out for and where do they go?
They go from Burfield, which is all the weapons are made from bits in Aldermaston, Atomic Weapons Establishment, Aldermaston. The bombs are made, all the bits for the bombs are made there. They're then taken 7 miles away to Atomic Weapons Establishment, Burfield, which is where they are assembled. So they have special buildings where they assemble the weapons and disassemble them, because the weapons are then taken up in a convoy to Coalport. Coalport is a massive bunker in Scotland in the next lock to where the submarines are based in Faslane Lane. So the submarines will then go round to Coalport and get loaded up and then go out. And when they come back, they'll get unloaded. And some of the contents of the nuclear warhead, the tritium, for example, has a shorter half-life than the rest of the weapon. So they have to then bring the warhead back, and some are checked as well. They bring them back to Burfield. So there's a circular movement of these convoys. So they then bring them back, disassemble the bombs, fill up the tritium. I'm not sure how you do that, but whatever. And then they reassemble the bomb and take it back to Coalport. So these weapons travel in a convoy, two convoys in a way. There's two convoys that go together. You have the main convoy, which has the weapons carriers. So these usually say four weapons carriers, which are big green vehicles, look like sort of HGVs, but they're all armor plated and they have special things. They are the most expensive trucks in Britain, those four. They have eight of them, and they cost £12 million when they refer when they redid them. So that's £1 million each for each of these vehicles, and they carry the warheads very securely inside them. They are escorted. Behind each one will be a Ministry of Defence police vehicle with armed MOD police inside, behind each one. And at the front and the back, you will have the control vehicles. One is the MOD police control, and one is the convoy controller. So that's the main essence of the convoy. And then behind that is a fire engine. So that's a dead giveaway. If you happen to see a green, looks like an army convoy, but with a fire engine in it, that's definitely the nuclear convoy. The army don't have fire engines in their convoys. And then behind that, you also have some police vehicles escorting it, and MOD police guard the whole convoy, and they have naval commandos guarding the convoy as well. But they're in unidentified, blacked-up vehicles that you wouldn't really know they're in. But we have photographed them when they have a rest break, getting out all weaponed up. So they have commandos guarding the convoy as well. And then a little behind that convoy is another convoy. So this is a support convoy. It has a spare driver vehicle that, so should one of the big weapons carriers conk out, they have a front, what you call it, a driving, they have a vehicle to take over and pull it. Behind that is also a coach, which has the crew people in, the crew members' gear. And behind that is another coach, which is the decontamination coach and a workshop. Should there be any accident, this is a big coach that's got sort of aerials on the top. And behind that all is a huge breakdown vehicle. We call it a wrecker. So it's a massive, great vehicle that could pull things out the way, which they have to do sometimes when these vehicles conk out. So you have two convoys, the main convoy at the front, which is heavily escorted, and then the support vehicle, which trails along behind it.
How many vehicles in total is that?
You could have with all the kind of police vehicles, etc., up to 20 sometimes.
Amazing. And so do they pull over into the motorway services for a sandwich and a Costa?
No, they tend to use military establishments along the way, and that's partly to train the drivers. So they'll keep driving along. They'll say, "Right, we'll go into MOD Kyneton, which is near Banbury, past Banbury." So they just pull in for an hour, and that familiarizes the drivers with the place. Probably a pee break and a whatever, but basically it's to train the drivers to go into, if there's an emergency, where is the nearest MOD establishment? So they could go there, they could go into Stafford, etc., all along the way. And they also have to comply with all the driving regulations, so they have to stop for lunch and change the drivers, etc.
So, which motorways in the UK are you most likely to see one of these?
You might see them on the M40. You might then see them going round Birmingham and going up the M6 that way. That's a west route. You might see them going up the M40. Well, first of all, they would be onto the M4 from Burfield and Reading. M4, then the A34, which comes up past Oxford and goes on to the M40. So it could be on the M40, and you could see them go past Birmingham and onto the M6. You could see them turning at Junction 15, heading past Coventry, and then on, I think it's the A69, which takes you to the M1 at Leicester. So they go up one way, switch across, and they then go up the M1, and then on to the further on into Yorkshire, where they might stay the night at Catterick or Leeming, RAF Catterick or Leeming. They do take 2 days normally to go to Scotland. And on the west, they might stop somewhere near Lancaster, in one of the army places there. And then, or they might just go over the border to an army base just in Scotland. Then the second day, they will sometimes, if they've gone to Yorkshire, they will quite often at Scotch Corner go right across to Carlisle on the A66 and up that way to Glasgow. They might go across right through the main bridge that goes over the Clyde and drive into the edge of Glasgow and go that way up to Coalport. Or they might pass it and go to Stirling and go across that way. Or if they go on the eastern route, they might go all the way around via Edinburgh and come that way. They choose different routes, I guess, to familiarise themselves. And they choose different routes and they can change routes and cross the country in all manner of ways. Those are the main routes.
As the Scottish gain their independence bit by bit, they're getting a bit annoyed, aren't they, that the British seem to think, or the English seem to think, that Scotland is the best place to keep these nuclear weapons, because, of course, wherever they are is a target. So I wonder, is there pressure on Westminster to get these nuclear weapons out of Scotland?
No, not really. I mean, there has been in the past, the Scottish National Party said they would get the weapons away from Scotland. I don't know that they follow that policy now because they've slightly changed. But there is nowhere else in Britain for them to go. First of all, you have at Coalport a massive underground bunker. You then have the means to put in the missiles into the in and out of the submarine. And at Faslane Lane you've got a whole place there where they have to refurbish and look after the submarines. There's nowhere else in Britain that you could do that. And they can go out in deep water and get escorted by an attack submarine to make sure they get out right. The only other place that's potential, there has been suggestions it could go to Pembroke, but there's all oil, there's not really anywhere for them. There's no harbour there. There's no place for them to go. Or,
Well, the obvious place is Devonport, isn't it? There's
no,
already.
it's not deep enough. So these things have to go out. The only other place down there would be, I'm just trying to think of the name. God, it's near where Truro is. There's a river that goes down and it's very deep, and they often park sort of empty ships there. So that is the only other place it could go, but there's no bunker there. So the only way that they could do is if you see them, you'd only know they were planning to do that if they were to dredge it and to build a massive bunker to put the warheads in. So that's not happening. They're stuck with Coalport, and I guess they would try and bribe the Scottish government if there was any trouble. The only other alternative would be to park our nuclear submarines with the French, which would be very embarrassing, or to park them with the Americans. We have to go, we don't actually own the missiles, the Trident missiles. We hire them from America. We make the warhead, which is probably a copy of the American warhead, and we work with the Americans on this. So at Aldermaston, we have a very, very powerful laser, and we suspect there are cooperative means that we do things and work with the Americans on the design and testing of nuclear weapons. And we know that the same convoy that takes the warheads to Scotland also goes to Brize Norton, RAF Brize Norton. And they fly materials to America and they fly things back from America and they use the same convoy to take the material back to Aldermaston. Or sometimes when the material comes in, the same convoy takes them to Rolls-Royce Derby, because that is where they make the nuclear engines for the submarines. So this shows the dependence we have on American elements of our nuclear weapons, and we don't have an independent deterrent that we all boast about.
Now, look, one thing that you're starting to get now is more emphasis on new nuclear power stations being built in the civil sector. Do you think there's any link between nuclear power and nuclear weapons?
There's always been a link, and there's always been a link. So Hinkley Point made, they set that up. First of all, they had Windscale, and that really produced plutonium for the first British nuclear weapons. That was where it was for. It produced very little electric power. It was there to make plutonium. And then one of the Hinkley Point reactors then produced a lot more to make further weapons. And so now, as we are refurbishing some of these nuclear things and building Hinkley Point C. Now, there was a military element to why that was decided to pursue that. Because the problem is you need trained people to work the military nuclear elements, like in the submarines. We don't have many people to do that. In America and Russia and France, they openly admit that they have to have recruitments and training by the civil nuclear industries, because that's where they get their trained people from. And we don't do that. And so there are fewer people that we can use in the military side. And so they pushed secretly to have Hinkley Point C built, because it will provide apprentices, etc., trained people. And there's work done at Brighton University by that. There's an element of papers, and the professor who did that has spoken many times around the country about that link between the civil and the nuclear elements of nuclear issues.
Yeah, well, thanks for clearing that up. What worries me
And
is quite a
sorry, could
lot.
I just mention one other thing?
Yeah, of course.
And this lack of personnel and so on means that our nuclear submarines, they always have one out somewhere. One is being refurbished, one is getting ready, the other three are sat there. There's not enough people, and the submarines are getting old. So the submarines are now out for over 6 months at a time. So this submarine that is out now will be out, and the latest one has just come in, being out for, I think, 205 days or something, a long time. So that means these crew members are underwater with no contact with anything else for 6 months at a time now. The submarines
Don't they
come back.
surface from time to time?
Pardon?
Don't they surface from time to time? They must do.
No, they don't. The thing is, it's got a nuclear engine, it can go on forever, really. And so they're underwater, not with no contact at all. You don't get sort of new food in or anything like that. The thing is hidden away. That's the idea of it being out there. It's for 6 months. When they come back, they're covered in algae and so on. And imagine the state of those Navy people who've been underwater for 6 months at a time.
So I mean, these nuclear weapons from the United States, does that make Britain more of a target that keeping an
Of
East Anglia
course.
now?
Of course. The American bases themselves there are definitely your targets. So the fact that they are using Fairford at the moment to bomb Iran makes that a target. I guess if the Iranians had enough missiles, I'm sure they would target it, just as somebody targeted RAF Akrotiri in Cyprus for the same reason. We are involved in this, and we are targets. And obviously, if we're talking about any trouble between us and the Russians, then all the American bases in Britain, such as Lakenheath and Mildenhall and so on, would be targets, and we would all be targeted because of that.
Now, look, you mentioned something rather curious about a car coming through your flat wall, Nigel. I mean, it may be completely unrelated to your work, but can
It
you just
was,
tell us
yes.
what that was like? What happened?
It happened in the middle of the night. I think there were a couple of people in the car who'd probably drunk too much or were on something. Instead of turning as they have to right outside, I'm on a junction. They didn't turn, they went straight through the wall. I thought it was my neighbor making a noise, and next thing I knew, I was being awakened by a group of firemen, police, and ambulance people who came and got us all out of the flats and attended to us. We had to sit outside for about 10 hours, and then we were then take very kindly the council put us into hotels whilst they took the car away and repaired the flats, which took a couple of months to do.
So
So whilst that was,
how were the people in the car?
I don't know. One, I suspect there were three of them. Two disappeared, and one, the driver, was lying on the pavement when I was taken out. He was put in the ambulance, but then he was found to be not too bad and okay, and I guess has been charged, but I don't know the history. I don't know the story now from there.
Anyway, look, if people are interested in following what CND and Nuke Watch are up to, Nigel, where should they go? Where's the best place?
I think you need to look at the website of CND, which is CND UK, or look at Nuke Watch UK website, and that will give you a whole rundown of the work, especially monitoring all the convoys. And CND are live and well and are doing many things, and their CND UK website is well worth looking at.
Yes, yeah, so I noticed they've got an excellent report on the United States military presence in Britain at the moment. Anyway,
Yes.
Nigel Day, Oxford CND, thanks very much for joining us.
Thank you very much.